is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Welcome. I am so charged up, so excited, and so awed. I'm going to speak to teachers today. We've been doing a series, Call to Arms, Battle Stations, General Quarters, and we have been speaking a lot to parents, but also I have a word for teachers, and I am so excited. There is so much that I have been seeing recently. Of course, I teach myself and always am eager to learn how to be a better teacher. And the Lord has something to say about that. Being a teacher is a very high calling and a very important calling in this last hour. We've been working from 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter. Now, perilous times will come. And the Lord wants us to know what the battle plan of the enemy is. And we've been working through all of the terrible things listed in that chapter and that we are awash with in our world. And we need to know what the battle plan is so we can speak the word of God into it. We know that the name of Jesus, his name is Word of God, we see in Revelation. Jesus' name is higher than every name. And we work down to the end of the chapter, we see that it's about the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, what do you think that we ought to be teaching? And of course, Timothy is primarily a book to Timothy, who is a preacher. And we'll reserve some comments about preachers later, but teachers. What should we be teaching? Well, there's so much in this book. Oh, could go on for a long time, but we're going to focus today on just a couple of verses here, just a little bit ahead of where we were. 2 Timothy 2, and we'll start in verse 24. But you know what Timothy is. First off, Paul greets Timothy and says how thankful he is for Timothy's unfeigned faith, sincere faith. And we are thankful for teachers who sincerely believe in the Lord and sincerely love our children and are called as teachers. And Timothy is told to stir up the gift. And we would say, stir up our gift as a teacher, you know, because this is a grace and a calling of God. And we should magnify our office and be thankful where God has placed us. Assuming that this is our calling, our vocation, and we should be doing it and doing it in the grace and the power of God. We need to be in our places. Yes, this is what general quarters means. Get in your places. Hallelujah. Wherever you're called and graced to serve, get there. And then Paul tells Timothy to endure like a good soldier. That seems to be pretty applicable. And then in Chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's worth really quite a lot of thought, that we ourselves must study. We must know what we are teaching and not just follow along blindly and somehow asleep so we can be led along. But we need to study ourselves so that we are indeed teaching the truth that fits in with the great truth, capital T, which there is. Hallelujah. And rightly dividing all the subsections of truth. And we flee from lusts and temptations so that we ourselves are good servants. But let's go now to 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, and the 24th verse. I'll read from the authorized version, the King James Version. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patience, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Beautiful and packed, chock full of wonderful things. You know, recently when I was teaching some obstreperous students, this verse came to me. Those who oppose themselves, that is so clear in my classroom. You know, I'm talking about freshman, college level. those students who are not cooperating with the structure of the classroom, with the task at hand, with learning, are surely and obviously opposing themselves. They signed up in college for a reason. They had a goal. This is the means to the goal. And if they don't wish to comport themselves correctly in the classroom, if they don't wish to do their assignment, like read that textbook, if they don't wish to study, if they don't wish to consider all of the challenges that the curriculum presents them with, then they are very, very clearly opposing themselves. And so it was really in the midst of the difficulty and the reality of teaching that this scripture was quickened to me. And then, you know, as I'm studying and preparing the broadcast, I'm brought now back to that same scripture. Hallelujah. So much in it. So let's go through it. And the servant of the Lord, hallelujah. Isn't it such a wonderful honor to be a servant of the Lord? You know, we are the children of the Lord, but when we sign up for service, God is pleased with that. And you know what? It's really a good thing. Better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than working anywhere else, you know, because there is no employer like the Lord who loves us. You know, we do need to consider ourselves clearly and correctly. Because if we take the world's opinion that we are just some sort of schoolmarm and sort of foolish and of no account and powerless in society, that takes away our joy, our power, and is not true. It brings us into bondage, but that is the world's view. But the view of the Word of God and of the Lord is that we are His children who have consented to serve Him, and we have a special place in the body of Christ, hallelujah, which itself ministers to the world. And we minister truth and grace, yes? So the servant of the Lord must not strive. You know, we need to be teaching, not in strife, but in love. Oh boy. Now I know those of you who teach in public school perhaps are often challenged with this because you're in any workplace. You can be challenged with this because the winds of strife blow, don't they? The carp swim around you in a school, don't they? But I tell you what, if you carp with the carp, you really get no good reward out of that. The servant of the Lord must not strive. This is not a suggestion. You see, because faith worketh by love. And if you get into strife, you won't have the supernatural rewards of faith. You won't be able to download because there is a blockage, right? There's a conflicting software problem to download all the supernatural signs, wonders, miracles, and graces of the Lord. Must not strive. You will give yourself problems as a teacher if you're in strife, and nowhere more than if you're in strife with your students. I know when I taught preschool, the students would reflect back to me my emotional state. And I believe this is true also in the college classroom, so I think it's probably true everywhere. If I come angry from one section because they were disrespectful, and then speaking disrespect to another section, they start mirroring that back to me, right? So it's better to walk in love. Well, now, of course, I don't mean necessarily sweet and syrupy love everywhere, although that may be appropriate with the younger students. But what is love? Right? You love, and how do you love people? By loving God, speaking the word that is full of faith and full of truth. And we'll see more about this. But be gentle unto all. Be gentle unto all. Just came from studying about making right confessions on a CD. It was saying, you've got a shotgun loaded with buck right under your nose. And I was thinking, well, everybody else here might have a shotgun under their nose. I think I have a cannon.
And sometimes it's loaded with things worse than shot. But we need to point that in the right direction, he says. And you bet. Let's have the power of our words loaded with the right thing and pointed in the right direction. Gentle unto all. We need to speak the word of faith to our children. This is what the self-esteem movement meant to be about, right? We need to speak the truth and speak it gently to our students. I know you can do it, right? Not, oh, you'll never amount to anything, because that's a curse. But give them the vision for success, because this is what God wants us to have, right? We even see that word success. You'll have good success, God says to Joshua. And similarly to our students, if they will meditate on their studies, right? If they will be strong and courageous, then they also will have good success. I'm quoting Joshua 1, of course. Gentle. And we'll skip down because this is continuing the thought. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Right? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is that power that is controlled. And instructing means that we will instruct. And instructing those that oppose themselves means that, yes, there is a right versus a wrong. And we will embrace that, teach that, magnify that. There is a right versus a wrong, and we're there to help the student go along the right path towards success. But we will do this in meekness. We will do this in gentleness. Gentleness to all. Of course, we know we have to be reasonably gentle to our boss. Yes? We honor all. And that doesn't say only honor authority, but we honor all. And that includes our students. We honor their gifts and their calling and the vision that God has for them, and let us hold that for them so that they might see it. Meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. For those who are doing wrong are actually hurting themselves. And not just us. This is one of the great failings of teachers often, I see, particularly in the public system, that the system, like almost everybody else in our modern culture, wants to blame everybody and take no responsibility. And the fortress mentality will not give us the success that we want, right? We also need not to oppose ourselves, but take responsibility. We need to be doing the instructing. And so this leads us to the thought that we skipped over. Apt to teach. Apt to teach. Not just ready to teach, although that's included, but able to teach. Ready and able to teach. Well, what more important thing to say to teachers than we should be ready, willing, and able to teach? Not coming to our task as if this is a job, we have done this a million times, but rather we are coming to serve the Lord, and we are empowered to teach. For isn't the Holy Spirit the greatest teacher on the earth? Right. So we come apt to teach. It's important for teachers, like any professional, to work on being a better teacher. And incidentally, who was the best teacher of all time? Was that not Jesus? Maybe we need to talk about how Jesus taught. Yes, we need to ever increase our skills as a teacher, and we need to come with joy and love and faith to our task, for God will teach through us. And think how that would change the world. Oh, little schoolmarms with no power, I don't think so. Satan is a liar. Hallelujah. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You may be saying, oh, sure, you don't understand. In secular school, we can't talk about that. Oh, I do understand. I have hostile, adult, capable students. If they dislike what I say to them, they jolly well know how to go directly to my boss in a way that most public school students do not. Now, I understand that there is a limit to exactly what you can say because you are hired to do a particular job. But let me tell you that if you do it correctly, if you do it according to truth and speak the truth, you create a climate and a culture that is more conducive to the gospel. If, on the other hand, you are asleep and falling into the battle plan of the enemy, then you make a climate more conducive to all of your students following along in that kingdom, right? It's two kingdoms. So what I'm saying here is if you do your job well, what you are hired to teach, if you do that as truthfully as possible, that works toward a climate for capital T truth. Of course, as a human being, you will have opportunity to speak capital truth, but in a secular school, hired to teach some other topic, you may not be able to talk about Christian theology, Christian doctrine as such. But whatever you are teaching, teach true facts and not false facts. And do your teaching with excellence. And this is speaking the truth. This makes a climate for your students understanding truth, capital T. Scripture says here that we should be apt to teach so that perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. What we teach and how we teach makes a difference. So are you going to have a classroom that is cheerful? Are you going to have a classroom that is full of faith? Are you going to have a classroom where doing the right thing is embraced? Are you going to have a classroom of self-responsibility and discipline? Are you going to have a classroom of success? It's largely up to you. You've been given the authority. You have been given the authority. And you have been hired to use your words to teach. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. Of course, we're going to be patient, and we're going to keep doing it, and we're going to keep doing it, and we're going to keep doing it. We're going to be patient. We are going to endure, and we will obtain the prize. And what is the harvest? Well, in the King James, it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Barry is translating that. And they may wake up out of the devil's snare, having been taken by him for his will. The New American Standard says that they may come to their senses and escape. Come to their senses like coming off of a bad trip, like returning to being sober after being unhappily drunk. Do you know a culture like this? Do you know people like this? Do you live in a country like this? Oh, yeah. And what's God's plan? You, buddy, you are sent, apt to teach. Glory to God, we've got a job to do. Hallelujah. Will you come with me to the throne of grace? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us with a high calling to speak into other people's lives. Thank you that you have called us to work for you and in so many ways be like you. Lord, I just bless these teachers. May they approach this new school year with a new and invigorated understanding of their calling. May they stir up the gift of being a teacher. May they enter that classroom and take authority and speak in faith over those students, faith and love and hope, such that those students must catch the vision, must enjoy the joy, must see the truth. Lord, we pray for a general turnaround of all our public schools toward righteousness and joy and faith. We pray for a general turnaround of our nation, for righteousness and joy and peace in believing that judgment would once again be founded on righteousness. Lord, thank you that we are in this army of love. Thank you that you are calling us to our places. Thank you that you have given us our ops manual, the Bible. Help us to operate strictly according to it. Help us to hear the word and speak the word and see the word springing up into a great harvest of peace and love and joy in our day, in our society, and most especially in our classrooms. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory.
I would like to invite you to come to the Great Shalom website at www.greatshalom.org. You'll find lots of resources there. Articles, free offers, books of the month, archives of the broadcast, podcasting, and there's even a space to blog. Just go to www.greatshalom. You can look for blog, select that, and you can just type it in. It won't be posted immediately because it has to go through an approval process. But anyway, do come to the website, www.greatshalom.org. Www, great like big, and shalom is shalom.org. See you there.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory.
And parents, even though most of my comments this broadcast have been aimed at teachers, I'd like to say just a short word to you. As we enter into this school year, let's make it a point to be thankful for and thankful to teachers and to pray for them. And of course, particularly for those who teach our children. Let us pray for a godly partnership for every joint supply. Don't you know that perilous times, not a good time for friendly fire? Let's thank and pray for teachers. And let us show meekness and winsomeness to those who are without, that God peradventure might grant them repentance, and that they and the institution for which they work might come to their senses, that we all be delivered out of the snare of the enemy and be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved. Well, let's pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our callings as parents and as teachers. And let us bless the callings of the other. We resolve to put down strife and to find a kind word. We resolve to be gentle. Help us instruct where we can and model where we should. Bless the teacher and the teaching, the parent and the parenting. And Lord, raise up an army of teachers in this hour that many children will be helped and saved and delivered, and that there will be a great harvest, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ, and many souls will be turned to you. Thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And may you increase, both you and your children. This is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.